And we're holding on Chaf Ches Amud Beis, the fourth line, fifth line from the bottom. We said in the Mishnah case, we said that a person says that these plants will be korban, and we said two possibilities of what that means, either that he makes them also to him like a korban, or that he's saying that he will use the value of them towards a korban if they're not chopped down. So we described in the Gemara yesterday that we may be talking about with a tremendous windstorm going on. He doesn't expect these plants to survive the storm. And he's saying, so in effect, he's saying a neder, either we said it can be considered nidrish gogos, like he really didn't expect that they're going to survive the storm. And now in the end, they did. And now the question is whether they're kaddish. Or the other possibility is more like nidre zeruzin, like he's just making a neder in order to buttress what he's saying. I can't believe that these are going to survive. And if they do, then if they don't, then they're going to be a korban. In any case, we said the neder is chal, but yesh lahem pidyon, we're able to be poyed to them afterwards. Then we have the case when he says the other way around. He says these plants will be a korban until they're chopped down, or this talus will be a korban until it's burnt. So the Mishnah said, ain lahen pidyon, there's no pidyon for them. So now we're going to be analyzing that point in detail. What exactly do we mean? Ain lahen pidyon, what exactly happens with these plants or with this talus? So the Gemara asks, so la'olam, what do they know? Are you never able to be poyed to them? How is it possible that the Tosfa says, what are we considering them like the Beis HaMikdash or like the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash or something that you can never be poyed to them? Sure, we can say they have a certain degree of Kedusha, either because, again, you have to use the value of them towards a korban, or because they themselves become also under a neder. But how can we say that there's no pidyon for them possible? Any hektish you can be poyed to. So the Gemara answers, Omer bar Pada. So the Gemara answers that by Pada says what it means is Pidaan, as long as these plants are attached to the ground, Pidaan, if he does try to redeem them from Hekdesh, Choizris for Kodeshos, then they're going to go right back to becoming Kodesh. Because after all, what did he say? These plants will be Korban until they're chopped down. So they haven't yet been chopped down. So if he's poyed to them, then it means they still don't lose their kedusha at all. Normally, the whole point of being poyed to something is that it had kedusha. Now you're going to transfer the kedusha onto something else. What Bar Pada is saying is you're not going to be able to do that in this case, because your neder was that these are going to be kodesh until they're chopped down. So it means, in other words, that when you're going to try to be poyed to them. You can't, though, because in effect, the Ran explains, when you made the neder, in effect, you are saying that these plants should be korban as of now, and they should also remain a korban even if they're redeemed, even if they're bought from Hekdesh, as long as they haven't been chopped down. So you redeem them, you figure out the value of them, and you set that aside for Hekdesh, but they go right back and become Kodesh again. Again, Don Choizos for Kodeshus, and this will repeat over and over again. Adji Kotsu, by Pada says, until you finally chop down the plants, Niktsu, and then once they're chopped down, Poydan Pamachas Vidaye, then you poy to them one more time, and then that's it. Now you don't need anything else. So by Pada is saying, in other words, that even after you said they're Kodesh until they're chopped down, but what actually happens is after they're chopped down, the kedusha doesn't just disappear on its own. The Gemara is going to bring in a second. We're going to have Ulo's opinion, who says that it does, and the Gemara is going to ask, how can kedusha just disappear on its own? So Bar Pada says it doesn't. Ultimately, since this had kedusha, you have to be able to remove that kedusha somehow by being poyed to them. But you can't do it as long as they are attached to the ground, because your neder is preventing that. Therefore, once they're chopped down, you're able to be poyed to them, and then that's it. Then the wood of the plant remains holding. Bar Pada has mentioned many times in Shas. Mostly he seems to come up in things involving kodshim, which is what we're dealing with over here. Why that is, I have no idea. But His name, so I mean, throughout Shas we call him by Pader. In the Yerushalmi, sometimes they call him by Pedoya. So it seems that Pader is just a nickname for Pedoya. And I think there's at least one place where it gives his first name as well, Yehuda. But you have certain Chachamim that are better known by their father's names, Ben Azai, Ben Zoima, for example. So here's another one. It's true. It's true. There is actually an interesting point now that you mention it. There is an interesting point they talk about that maybe there are certain chachamim whose name actually derives from a halacha that they said. But here we Bar Pada is mentioned in numerous other things in Shas, so not necessarily. Anyway. That's one explanation. So once they're chopped down, you redeem them one time, and then that's enough, and then that's it. Ula says no. Once they were chopped down, you're not able to be poed to them, you're not able to be poed to them, but you don't need to be poed to them, because according to him, the Kedusha just goes away automatically. Now, the Ran has a long discussion over here, and Tosfos also discusses which part of Bar Pada's statement is Ula disagreeing with. So first he brings from the Rashba that they both agree on the part that as long as the plants are still growing, as long as they're still attached to the ground, then that the Kedusha keeps on coming back. So he says both Ula and Bar Pada are going to agree with that point. They're just disagreeing what happens at the end after it's chopped down. Do we say that the Kedusha doesn't just disappear by itself? You have to do something to remove the Kedusha, namely to be poured to them. That would be according to Bar Pada. Or according to Ula, that's not necessary, since the whole neder was that they should only be Kaddish as long as they're attached to the ground. Then as soon as you detach them from the ground, then they're no longer Kaddish and you don't need to do anything else. And he discusses the Rashba learns from that of Sutin Dinim in Dinim Mominus. Then he goes on to say, the Ran goes on to say that he brings from HaChocham HaGadol Rav Moshe Kartavi Zichrono Levracha. Now, who is this Chocham Gadol who's great enough to be arguing with the Rashba? It's interesting. The Rambam mentions in one of his Chuvas, the Rambam is discussing in a completely different context, he discusses the question of the parashiyos and tefillin. We know famously there's Rashi versus Rabbeinu Tam, but the machlokes goes back long before them. So they ask the Rambam that we know from the past that we wore tefillin like Rabbeinu Tam, but you're telling us in Yad HaChazakah that you should wear them like Rashi. So what's going on? And the Rambam explains in a tshuva that there was a chocham named Rav Moshe Mikortova who had said that, he wrote a sefer on Hilchos Tefillin, and he said, like Rabbeinu Tam, and everybody started following him. But really, the Rambam says, I disagree with him, and it should be like the order of Rashi. So that, it seems that that's the same Rav Moshe Kartavi that the Ran is referring to over here. Yesh Omrim, even based on various other sources, that this other Rav Moshe may have even been named Rav Moshe Ben Maimon, like the Rambam. So in that case, he's another Chocham of the same name, also from Cordova in Spain, which is where the Rambam was born as well, but not the Rambam, but rather a different Chocham. Anyway, so he says that no. So the Ran brings from him that he says that actually Bar Pada and Ula are arguing on both points. Because Bar Pada holds that the Kedusha doesn't just disappear automatically, that is what makes him say that if you pour to them while they're still growing, when you say that you makdish them until they're chopped down, then what are you adding with that? Obviously, the Kedusha doesn't just disappear from them even after they're chopped down. So it has to mean, therefore, that he means to add that even if you were to be poured to them before they're chopped down, the Kedusha will come right back. So therefore, Bar Pada is saying both points. Because he used the extra word, because the Kedusha can't just disappear on its own, therefore, we have to assume when he was makdish it, that if he had just been makdish and said generically that they should be kaddish, then we would say, fine, you poured to them and that's that. Because he used the extra words, ad shiyukotsu, until they're chopped down, then therefore the result is that it means that they become kaddish again and again. That would be by Pada. Meanwhile, Ula who says that the Kedusha can disappear on its own. So therefore he says, so the words Ad Shei Kotzitzu are not extra. He means to define they should only be Kodesh until they're chopped down. As soon as they're chopped down, then the Kedusha should automatically disappear. Therefore, says Ula, we don't, according to the Moshe Kotavi's explanation, we don't have to say that that he meant that they should become Kodesh over and over while they're attached. No, he can mean that that you could be poured to them while they're attached to the ground. And then if you detach them, then you don't even need to be poured to them, because then the Kedusha disappears automatically, because to begin with, you said that they should only be Kodesh until they're chopped down. And the Ran spends a lot of time discussing the implications of both of these two opinions. And then he ends up saying that even the Rashba, who holds the first way, who says that everybody agrees they are Kaddish as long as the plants are attached to the ground. The only machlokas is what happens after you chop them down. And as the Ran had brought, the Rashba learns certain halachas in Dine Mominus from that. He says that there may actually be a difference between Hekdish and other kinds of Kinyonim. Maybe Hekdish, the Gemara itself is going to mention further on that Hekdish has somewhat different dinim in some ways than regular transactions. So maybe only by Hekdish would we say this. Maybe we wouldn't say it by other dinim ominous as well. Okay. So that's the Machlokas by Pada and Ula. So the Gemara says, Omalei Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Hamnuna asks Ula, so you're telling me that once the plants are chopped down, then the Kedusha disappears. So again, according to the Rashba, he's saying to Ula, fine, you agree that as long as they're attached to the ground, it's impossible to be polite to them because they're going to go and become Kaddish over and over again. So fine, I have no problem with that. But you're saying that at the end they become that at the end they automatically lose their kedusha. How does that, when they're chopped down, how could that possibly happen? You make something kaddish, doesn't it have to eventually, you have to do something to remove the kedusha from it? And again, according to the Moshe Kartavi, the question is, once you're saying the kedusha disappears, and therefore you're saying that has implications even while they're attached to the ground, but it's all based on the assumption that the kedusha can disappear on its own. So Rav Hamnuna says to Ula, how could you say that? Kedusha shebehen lahechan holcha. Where did the kedusha in them go? And the Ran adds another point as well. Now we learned earlier in the sugya, we learned yesterday that when we talk about the Mishnah, when he says that these plants will be korban, we said there's two possibilities. Korban can mean that he will use the value of them to buy a korban, and it can also mean that the plants themselves will be also to him, will be also b'hanah to him, as if they were not just to him, but to everybody, as if they were a korban. So now the Ran says, if we say like the first explanation that he says he's going to use the value of them towards a korban, okay, that's regular hekdesh. So therefore we can be talking about the kedusha in them. But if we say that we're talking about a neder, where he's saying it's also by a koinam to me and to everybody, what kind of kedusha are we talking about? It's not a matter of kedusha. It's a matter of a neder. And bechlal, anyway, what's the problem? Forget about the word kedusha. You can make a neder that should last for a period of time. The same way as I can make a neder that says this food should be also to me as a korban today, and tomorrow automatically that neder expires. The same exact way I could say that these plants should be a korban until they're chopped down, and then as soon as they're chopped down, then the kedusha goes away. So what is Rav Hamnuna's problem? So the Ran explains and brings from Rabbeinu Yonah that the distinction would be, because here it's one thing when a person makes a neder for himself, so then we can say it can be time limited, but here we're talking about a neder that he's saying that should be also to everybody. So that kind of thing is more like kodshim. In fact, again, we're going to have in the next parak, we mentioned yesterday, we're going to have in the next parak, the mayor says that even the din of me'ila would apply to such things, as if it really belonged to Hekdesh. So therefore, we can be talking about the Kedusha in them, and therefore we can be asking, how does that Kedusha disappear on its own? And Rav Hamnuna continues, Uma ilu omele isha. Imagine a man says to a woman, Hayoim at ishti, he's Makadisher, and he says to her, Hayoim at ishti, or the macho iat ishti, today you'll be my wife, and tomorrow you won't be my wife. So the Kedushin should only be for today. Me nafkabal a get. How could she be divorced? How could she leave him without a get? Once she's Makodish to him, she remains Makodish. Well, Ksuba is another matter, but we knew we had the Kedushin, at least, as Hizchal. Now, the Rosh and Tosfos both point out, where exactly do we get that from? Maybe indeed, maybe it is possible to have Kedushin that are only a temporary thing, just like we're saying a Neder or something like that can be only a temporary thing. So they both answer that. We have a Gemara in Gittin that says the flip side of it when it comes to giving a get. Imagine that a husband gives his wife a get and says, this get should be in effect only today. Today, you won't be my wife as a result of this get. But tomorrow, this get expires and you're back to being my wife. It doesn't work. So once the get cuts off their relationship, then that's it. It cuts off. If they want to reestablish their relationship, he needs new kedushin. So by the same thing, since we know that there's a hekesh between kedushin and gittin, the yotz of vahoisa, we learn that the going out with a get is similar in many ways to the vahoisa, to coming in with kedushin. We learn from that many different dinim in gittin and kedushin. Therefore, the same thing it follows that kedushin can't be a temporary thing either. So Rav Amnuna says the same way as over there, you can't say that you can't say that the kedushin expires after a while. The same way, how can you say over here that the kedusha expires after a while? Again, if we say that korban over here means that he's saying I'm going to use the value of them towards a korban, then that can't expire without being poided. And if you say that it means that it's koinam, that everybody is also to have anah from it, then as the Ran brings from Rabbeinu Yonah, that is similar in a certain way to kodshim, because you're making it also to everybody similar to kodshim, unlike if you made it also to you yourself, where, yeah, there's no question, you can have a time-bound nether.
But here he's saying when it gets knocked down, a different change.
Well, that's right. So, but it's the same thing as being time, or as depending on time, or depending on a circumstance, whatever. The point is, in other words, that Ula is telling us that that once they're chopped down, you don't need to be poyed to them anymore. That's Rav Hamnuna's problem. Why not? There was Kedusha in them, and you said the Kedusha is until they're chopped down. Where did that Kedusha disappear to? So Amalei Rava. So Rava answers back Rav Hamnuna. What kind of a comparison is that? Mikom Adamas Kedushas Damim Kedushas Aguf. How do you think to compare Kedushas Damim, where you're over here, you're saying that the tree should be used, the value of it should be used for korbanos. That's not kedusha, it's like goof. It's not that it has intrinsic kedusha. The value of it has kedusha. So how are you comparing that to kedusha, it's like goof? Which is when you do kedushin, there's no such thing as kinyan domim. There's no such thing as a when it comes to kodshim, there could be a difference between kedusha, it's like goof, and kedusha, it's like domim. Kedusha, it's like goof is you say, for example, this animal should be for a korban. So now the animal intrinsically has kedusha, and you have various dinim about it. Then you can be makdush something kedushas damim. For example, let's say a non-kosher animal or a balmum, as the Ran talks about over here. So let's say you have an animal, it's a balmum. You makdush it. You can't offer it on the mizbeach. What it becomes is, or you have various things that you makdush for bedek habayis or whatever, for the upkeep of the mizbeach. Those things are called kedushas damim. The item itself doesn't gain kedusha. What it is the value of it has kedusha, in the sense you're obligated now to go and sell it and use the money for the Beis HaMikdash. Or the treasurers of the Beis HaMikdash themselves take it and sell it and use the money, whatever the case. The point is that now when it comes to kedushin of a woman, there's obviously no such thing as kedushas damim. Necessarily, the kedusha is kedushas aguf. It affects her intrinsic metzios, that now she's a married woman. So therefore, that's a completely different thing than kedushas damim. So therefore, Rava says, what kind of a question is that, Rav Amnuna? Kedushas damim pokabachbi. You could very well say that kedushas damim disappears by itself without needing anything else. Kedushas aguf loy pokabachbi, and kedushas aguf does not. So yes, in the case of kedushin, he can't say the kedushin should be in effect only today, but not tomorrow. But in the case of the tree, he could very well say that should be the kedusha of it should be for today and not for tomorrow. Tomorrow meaning when it's chopped down.
When it's chopped up, why can't the tree go to be?
It could, but that's not the net. Of course, it could be hektish, but that's not the nedu he made. The nedu he made, if he wants to give it to hektish at that point, once it's chopped down, of course, let him do whatever he wants. But right now, his nedu was harena tiyase elo korban ad shi kotzu. These things are a korban until they're chopped down. So now the question becomes, what happens when they're chopped down? Where Barpada had said, you still need to be poyed in them. Ula is saying, you don't. So Rav Hamnuna is bothered by that, is asking Ula,
where did
the kedusha go? Right. So again, so Rava is saying there's a difference between kedusha guf and kedusha dam. But Amalei Abaye, says to Rava, what kind of a distinction is that? Kedusha guf loy poka b'chdi. So you're telling me that even kedusha guf cannot disappear on its own. In fact, the Ran says maybe it could mean that Abaye disagrees with the premise of Rava's question. Rava is bringing a question from Kedushin that Rava is taking it as a given. It's impossible to be Mekadesh a woman today and that it should expire tomorrow. Maybe, says the Ran, that maybe Abaye would disagree with that. After all, the Rosh and Tosfa said we only learn it by analogy with the Dinim of Gittin. Maybe, in fact, by Kedushin, it's different. Maybe it is possible to make a Kedushin that will expire eventually. Then he goes on to say that no, not necessarily. You could say that the Ran makes a distinction because any kinyan that's not permanent is only a kinyan payus. When you sell somebody a piece of property, normally you sell it to him for good, and that means that in the times of the Yovel, not really, because you get it back in Yovel, but whatever. The point is, such a thing is called kinyan aguf. You're actually acquiring the actual object itself, the actual field itself, or what have you. Then you sell somebody a field for a period of time, then it's only called kinyan payus. You're not actually acquiring the land itself. All you're acquiring, in effect, is the right to eat the payus of that land for X amount of time. In fact, the Gemara does, in connection with Yovel, the Gemara does discuss in other places in Shas whether sales of land in the time of Yovel are, in effect, only kinyan payus. In any case, the point is, the Ran says, So now you could say when it comes to kedushin, there's no such thing as kinyan peiros. Kedushin is kinyan aguf. So therefore, Abaye might agree with Rava's premise that yes, kedushin can't be temporary. But he would say that there's kedushas domim, there's kedushas aguf, and then there's sort of something in between. There's kinyan peiros. So by a woman, there's no such thing as kinyan peiros. There's certainly not such a thing as kedushas damim. The only thing is kedushas aguf. Therefore, by being makadish a woman, there's no other possibilities. Once you're makadish her, then it's a done deal. On the other hand, when it comes to the case of Or Mishnah, which is clearly kedushas damim, and even as he's going to discuss in a certain kind of case of kedushas aguf, where it's more like kinyan peiros, where it's more like a weak kinyan aguf, then it could work temporarily. But so therefore, the Ran says again that Abaye may agree that kedushin are a special case, and you can't compare. But nevertheless, we still see, says Abaye, that I can find you an example of kedushas aguf that disappears on its own. Namely, Abaye says, "Valtanya, we learn in a brisa, shurze oila kol lamed yom." Suppose a person says this ox should be an oila for the next 30 days. Meaning, if he's makriv that ox during those 30 days, then it will be an oila. Ola acha lamed yom shlomim. And he says after 30 days, instead it should become a shlomim. So kol lamed yom ola lacha lamed yom shlomim. So then his tnai is valid. So then if he offers the animal anytime during the first 30 days, then it goes for an ola. If he offers it anytime after the 30 days, then it becomes a shlomim.
It's up to him
whenever he brings it to the Beis Mikdash. He made the neder on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. So now if he brings it anytime during Cheshvan, then he'll come and tell them this. The Kohen will ask him, what are you bringing this for? He'll tell them, I made a neder on Rosh Chodesh that during these next 30 days, it's an ola. So they'll say, okay, then we're going to be makriv for you as an ola. And then if he brings it after the 30 days, he'll tell them, last month, Rosh Chodesh, I made this neder, and they'll tell him, oh, well, now it's a shlomim.
Now it's good for all of us.
Yeah. So Abaye asked, Amai, now you have to ask, why would that work? Kedushas aguf ninu. Isn't that an example of kedushas aguf? Because after all, the animal itself is going to be brought as a carbon. And we still see that the kedusha disappears on its own. That you have the kedusha of oila disappears on the kedusha of oila disappears on its own, and it becomes a shlomim instead.
So is that in general allowed?
Well, that's what we're asking. In other words, you Rava are saying that there's a difference that kedushas aguf can't disappear, but kedushas damim can. And therefore you, Rava, are saying to Rav Amnuna, what's your question on Ula? But on the face of it, we see in this braisa that it is possible to remove even Kedushas Aguf, without anything further. Now, the Ran explains, actually, that the question is not really on Ula himself. Ulla himself holds that. Ulla is saying that in the case of our Mishnah, that the trees lose their kedusha after 30 days, and therefore you don't need to be poured to them anymore. So Ulla is not necessarily making the distinction between kedushas aguf and kedushas damim or anything like that. So you could say the same thing over here, that the kedushas aguf disappears after 30 days. The question is on Rava, who's saying that there's a distinction between kedushas damim and kedushas aguf. So then, according to Rava, how is he going to understand that case of the animal? So the Gemara answer is that's not a question, because hachab mayaskinan de omer ledomim. Because you could say to begin with that he said when he's makdish the animal, he wasn't saying that it itself should be brought as a korban. Rather, he's saying that the value of it should be brought as a korban, which is exactly the same as the case of the trees of our Mishnah. Now, the question then, you could say that kedushas damim can disappear after 30 days. Kedushas aguf wouldn't necessarily, as Rava is making the distinction. Kedushas damim can disappear, kedushas aguf can't. Now, the Ran and Tosfos bring up a question that if you're makdish an animal which is tamim, and you are makdish at kedushas damim, so you say, for example, I want the value of this animal to be used for a korban, or I want it to be used for the Beit HaKavayis, it itself actually becomes a korban. So what are we talking about over here, the dummy? So the Ran gives an answer that we can be talking about over here, the animal is a balmum. So therefore, it can't be brought as a korban. Therefore, when you makdish it, maximum it can have is kedushas damim.
But he says that for oil, then for shlamim.
So that's what it means. That's what it means. During the first 30 days, the first 30 days, the value of it would be brought for an oil. So in other words, he's saying, if I sell this animal any time during the next 30 days, then I'm pledging that the money that I get for it, I will use to buy an oil. And then he's saying, if I sell it any time after 30 days from now, then instead I'm pledging that the value of it will go towards a shlamim.
Same amount of money,
maybe not, but the point is which kind of animal. Not necessarily. For one thing, an oila has to be a male animal, a shlamim can be male or female, so there might be a difference in price, but that's not the point. We're not talking about a difference in price, we're talking about what kind of korban is he going to use the money towards. If he earmarks money for an oila and then he uses it to buy a shlamim, then that's no good. So over here we're saying that, yeah. Anyway, Tosfos brings that answer. Tosfos also brings another possibility that we're talking about, that he was makdish the animal as far as that the money will be used for nisachim. And the Gemara mentions elsewhere, in the Gemara in Shavuos, that does work, normally you're makdish an animal, that the value of it is going to be used for something else, and the animal itself becomes kaddish. But here, what you're doing is you're makdish the animal, that the value of it should be used for nisachim, should be used for the flour and wine and oil that are offered on the mizbeach. That works, and that makes it that the animal itself is not kaddish, just that when you sell it, then you will use it towards that. So therefore, we can be talking about that he's makdish it towards the nisachim that will go with an oila, or the nisachim that will go with a shlom, as the case may be.
So now his condition, he said originally, will change now.
So now we said, so that's what we're not saying. So we're not saying oila and shlomim themselves. We're saying either that if we say it's a balmum, it does mean an actual oila or shlomim. Or if we say the animal is a tam, then it means that he's saying I'm going to be using it for nesachim towards that will go with an oila, or nesachim that will go with a shlomim.
There has to be balmum.
Right. No, that's the thing. According to the first answer of Tosfos, it's not necessary for it to be a balmum for that to work. Even if it's a tam, a person is able to be makdish a tam animal and say this tam means that it's not a balmum. Okay. He's able, Tosfos is pointing out in their first answer, a person is able to take a tam animal and say, I am makdish this animal insofar as that the value of it should be used towards nesachim. And that is a valid hekdesh. The animal itself does not become kodesh as a korban, but when he sells it, he has to use the money for nesachim.
So when do you have to be makavit as?
That's otherwise. That's if you said, for example, this animal should be hekdesh for Beit HaKavayis. For example, you could say that this animal should be hekdesh for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, for the fund that's used to repair and maintain and whatever the Beis HaMikdash. Then we would say that no, it itself becomes a korban.
Because it's saying for nesachim.
Because it's saying for nesachim, which themselves go on the mizbeach, that it's different. So the Gemara says, Ihochi, fine.
Yes, right now we've answered the question.
So far we've answered the question, right. So we could say, in other words, that yeah, that so Abaya is asking, you have an example of Kedushas HaGuf that disappears. The answer is, this isn't really a full-fledged Kedushas HaGuf. This is a special case. This is a case of Kedushas Dom, of some kind or other. Either because the animal was a Balmum or because he was Makdash for Nesach.
So no proof.
So no proof, right. So the Gemara said, Ihochi, but if you're going to say that the Braisa is talking about Kedushas Domim, Ema Sefer, look at the next part of the Braisa, where it says the other way around, La'acha Lamed Yom Olam Achshav Shlomim. What if he said the conditions the other way around? The first part of the Braisa where he said that as of now, that for the next 30 days, it should be Ola, after that, it becomes Shlomim. Now the second part of the Braisa says the other way around. He says, after 30 days from now, it should be an Ola. And from now, during the time in between, during these first 30 days, it should be Shlomim. So it's really, we're not saying that, I mean, we flipped around Ola and Shlomim, but fine, that's just, the Rosh explains that's just because we were talking about Ola before, and therefore we start by saying Ola. Now the previous one started with Ola first, therefore this one started with Ola first. Practically speaking, of course, it means the other way around. That means then that first he's saying for the first 30 days to be a Shlomim, then an Ola. It wouldn't really matter, the Rosh said, whether he said it particularly in the way that the Gemara is phrasing it over here, or whether he said the other way around, for the first 30 days Shlomim, the rest of the time Ola. Either way, the point is that the Braisa says, the Braisa says again that works. So, why does the Braisa need to tell us both cases? So, if you're going to say that the Braisa is telling us two different cases, one, the first part is talking about Kedushas HaGuf, where he's saying the actual animal itself should be an Ola, and then 30 days from now it should be a Shlomim, and the second part is talking about Kedushas Domim, where he's saying only that the value of the animal should be used for a Shlomim or an Ola, respectively. Well, if we say that, well, that would explain why the Tana has to teach both cases, because he wants us to know that the din applies to also Kedushas HaGuf and Kedushas Domim. And in fact, the Ran says if you only had the one case, then you would think, like we just said, that there's a difference between Kedushas HaGuf and Kedushas Domim, and therefore the Braisa is telling us that no, the same din applies to both of them. So if you say that, then fine. The Sakr and Chamina, because you would think Kedushas HaGuf like Poka Bechdi, Kedushas Domim Poka Bechdi, you would think that maybe only Kedushas HaGuf doesn't disappear on its own, but Kedushas Domim can. I'm Tula Hafi, therefore Tana Tarti, therefore the Tana taught both cases in the Braisa to make it clear that one applies to Kedushas HaGuf and the other to Kedushas Domim, and the same din applies to both. The Kedusha of the Ola can automatically disappear and be replaced by the Shlomim. Eli, Yamat, Aidi, Vaidi, Kedushas Domim. But if you say that both parts of the Braisa, or if you'd say you, Rava, are saying that both parts of the Braisa have to be talking about Kedushas Domim, because according to Rava, Kedushas HaGuf can never disappear on its own, well then, Lomali, the Misni Tauti. Why does the Braisa need to tell us both cases? Hashta, Yeshloima, after all, we should be able to make a Kabo Chomer. We should say, if you're saying that can even go from a more stringent Kedusha to a lesser one, from Ola to Shlomim, would there be a Chidush to say that can go from Shlomim, which is less Kedusha, to Ola, which is greater? So there'd be no need to say, there'd be no need to say the second din at all.
The first one wouldn't work anyhow. You can't do that.
No, why not? Again, no. If we're talking Kedushas Domim, then you can. Yeah. But according to Rava, Kedushas Guf can never disappear. So if you're going to tell me the first part of the Braisa is talking about Kedushas Domim, and it's saying that you can go from Ola to Shlomim, so what would the Sefer be telling us? In Kedushas Domim, you can also go from Shlomim to Ola? What's the Chiddush? Of course you can go from Shlomim. Of course you can go from Shlomim to Ola.
How do you get to the first part if you're not allowed to do that?
No, that's the point. In other words, in the ratio we're talking about is Kedushas Guf. Kedushas Domim. So again, we could be talking in the same, it's also Kedushas Domim. Rava would have to understand that both parts are talking about Kedushas Domim. So not that he said this animal itself will be an Ola, or this animal itself will be a Shlomim, but rather they said the value of it will be. Either because we said either the animal's a Balmum, or he's Makdashit for the value of Nisaf. But of course, so according to Abaya's understanding, and according to Rav Nuna's understanding, that there's a difference between between Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas Domim. So the Braisa is telling us both of them. Having told us about Kedushas Domim, it tells us the same concept applies to Kedushas Aguf as well, or the other way around. Having told us that it applies to the Kedushas Aguf, then it tells us that it applies to Kedushas Domim as well. But according to Rava, that Kedushas Aguf, this whole din wouldn't apply at all. So both of them are Kedushas Domim, then what's the Chiddush? And in fact, by the way, Tosfos makes a point that the distinction between Kedusha Kala and Kedusha Chamura can only be really within Kedusha, can only be really within Kedushas Domim. In other words, the idea is you could Tosfos says you could the Gemara could answer that according to Rava, yes, there is a chiddush that you're able to replace one kedusha with another. But he says no, by kedushas aguf, there's no chiddush. By kedushas aguf, you don't really talk about kedusha chamura and kedusha kala. Yeah, the fact that you can replace one type of korban with another is not that big a chiddush, because after all, it is kedushas aguf. Either way, it is being offered on the mizbeach. If you're going to say that the whole thing is Kedushas Domim, then what is the Chiddush of the second part of the Braisa?
Why is the question according to the other first two also? If it's Domim across the board, no problem. But if it's not, if you're giving the actual behemoth, it goes automatically as a carbon. You can't switch it.
No, so that's the thing. So we're saying that that's the point that Tosfos is making. There's no question that you could change an animal from one kind of korban into the other by making a tanai like this. You're saying that it should be this kind of korban only for a certain number of days, and after that, it becomes a different kind of korban. You're not even going to distinguish between kedusha chamura and kedusha kala. You're going to say a korban's a korban. But to say that the kedusha should disappear altogether, so Rava is saying it can never disappear by itself with kedushas aguf, only with kedushas damim. Well, the question is, according to Rava, then the Braisa seems to all be talking about Kedushas Domim. So then what's the second part adding over the first part? So in fact, that's it. We've slugged up Rava's distinction between Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas Domim. Now we haven't really slugged up Ula because Tosfos makes the point that after all, again, Rava was the one making a distinction between Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas Domim. So we showed the Braisa has to be talking about both cases. Ula didn't make any such distinction. So therefore, the question is not really on Ula. The question is on Rava, who was using that to deflect Rav Hamnuna's question on Ula. So now we've slugged up Rava. We've shown that the Braisa seems to be talking about both cases.
According to Rav Hamnuna, you can't say that as long as the trees and the stuff is growing, all those fruit and vegetables go towards Kedusha.
That's not even.
But once you cut it off, then the condition's over.
Well, that's what we're saying. The condition is over, but the question is, what happens to the actual tree itself? Matias halolu, these actual plants themselves, what happens to them after they're chopped down? Where again, according to Ula, you don't need to be poured to them anymore. Why not? Where'd the Kedusha go?
It wasn't on the tree.
No, it was on the tree itself. Matias halolu means these plants, means the actual plants themselves, the actual wood of the tree.
You'd have to give it also.
You have to give it as well. Right. So now the Gemara says, Lema tem the kedusha b'chdi. Now though, now should we say, continues the Gemara, that now this Braisa, so now what did we see? That we're saying that the kedusha can disappear without being poida, because that's what we're saying. Now that we understand the Braisa is talking about both kedushas aguf and kedushas domim, so we're saying that now he made this tanai that it'll be an oila for x number of days and a shlomim for x number of days, and the kedusha disappears from the kedusha of oila disappears, the kedusha of domim for oila disappears on its own as replaced by shlomim, or the other way around. Now, Bar Pada, at the beginning of our sugya, had said that in our Mishnah, you have to be poda the tree at the end. After you chop it down, you have to be poda the one last time, and that's that. So lema tevetiyuv to the Bar Pada. Now, should we say that this braisa contradicts Bar Pada? Where after all, Bar Pada says that the kedusha can't just disappear on its own, and here from the braisa we seem to be saying that it does.
Because the money goes.
Because we're saying that they automatically it transfers from Ola to Shlomim, or from Shlomim to Ola. It's still some form of kedusha. So again, when it comes to kedusha as a guf, we can say there's no such distinction. When it comes to kedusha as domim, though, there's no question the kedusha of an Ola is greater than the kedusha of a Shlomim. After all, and by the way, we should point out, it's not only a distinction of what kind of animal you're going to be, of what kind of korban you're going to be bringing it as. It's also a nafkamina as far as me'ilah. Where we've learned before that me'ilah does not apply to a shlomim until after it's shechted, and when it comes time when the imurim, the parts that are going to be burnt on the mizbeach, are taken out, then me'ilah applies to those. As opposed to an ola, me'ilah applies from when you makdash it. So now a person is makdash an animal as an ola. If he uses it, then he's chayev from me'ilah. If it's an animal of shlomim and he uses it, he's not. So there's a big difference. Anyway, the answer is omalach rav papa. So the papa says, omalach bar pada. No, because bar pada can answer you that that's not what the braisa means. Hochikomer, what the braisa means is, if he did not say when he was so he says the shur should be kodesh as an ola after 30 days. The sefer of the braisa. So the Ran has a long explanation over here that Rav Papa is really only reinterpreting the sefer according to Bar Pada. The Reisha we don't really need to. The Rosh and Tosfos discussed that maybe not. He may be reinterpreting the Reisha as well. Anyway, so what it means in the sefer, at least, he says that the animal should have kedusha of ola after 30 days. Im loy omer me'achsh of shlomim. If he does not add the words that as of now it's shlomim. So again, let's look back at the braisa. It said, he said, la'acha lamed yom ola, after 30 days it will be an ola, or me'ach shav shlomim, and as of now it should be shlomim. So till now we understood that it doesn't really matter what order he said it in. All it is he's saying that for the first 30 days it should be a shlomim, and afterwards it's an ola. Now Rav Papa is saying that what it means is, if he says that it should be an ola after 30 days, if he does not say that as of now it should be shlomim, then the din is that only la'acha shloshim yom ola habi, the chiddush is that it becomes an ola 30 days from now. And meanwhile, between now and then, it's nothing. We don't say that because he said in 30 days it'll be an ola, therefore in between it has some kind of status of chiddusha. No, during those first 30 days, it doesn't have anything.
So, it says, so
if he said that it's shlomim, then it's shlomim. But in other words, so that would be the chiddush of the braisa. So the Ran explains that at some length that it means Rav Papa is not coming to change the wording of the braisa. He's just coming to explain what the braisa means. That when the braisa said in 30 days it should be an ola, only if he also says that during that time between now and 30 days it should be shlomim, only then does it have chiddusha during those 30 days. But if not, then not.
That's the difference between the
Reisha. So that's the difference. So right. So that's the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer, right? So the Reisha is not a problem for Bar Pada because we're saying the Kedusha, a lesser Kedusha of Shlomim. In the Reisha, we're talking about Kedushas Domim, and we're saying that that's replaced by a different Kedushas Domim. In the Sefer, what we're talking about, we're not even talking about one Kedusha being replaced by another. The Sefer is telling us a whole different din, that it's possible to make something Kodesh in advance now, where it'll only take effect in the future. So the Ran, by the way, goes on to explain over here that, then in that case, then we don't have to say that the braisa is a contradiction to Rava anymore. Before, we thought the braisa is all talking about where it's kodesh the entire time, just different kinds of kedusha, and therefore we asked him it on Rava. Now, when we explain it that way, we don't have to say it's a question on Rava anymore. But besides that also, the Ran goes on to say that now, if we understand the braisa this way, then we have a lot of different things that we can learn from it. We see, first of all, the idea that Bar Pada is saying that the kedusha doesn't just disappear on its own. It has to be replaced by some other kind of kedusha. We see that that's true even of a kedusha kala, even of a lesser kedusha. where it goes from Shlomim to Ola, for example. We also see that we see that it won't go away even if automatically, even if that's going to result in a greater kedusha going from a Shlomim to an Ola, for example. And then we also see that even if to begin with he said that the kedusha of the Ola will only be after a while, we don't say that automatically the kedusha of the Shlomim goes away after that time. You need to do something in order to so the Ran explains according to that it comes out that you have many different kedushim in this braisa, only because he mentions over here that Tuchkede Dibur, he said that it should be Shlomim, but for example, let's say he had said that it should be an Ola for 30 days, and then at some later point he says what's going to happen after 30 days, that wouldn't necessarily work. So the Gemara asks, the Gemara says, Midi Dehava Ha'Omelisha, because the reason why that works, that we say that the Kedusha does not take effect until 30 days from now, and then 30 days from now it takes effect, even though he didn't do anything else. Midi Dehava Ha'Omelisha, because it's similar to the case of a man says to a woman, Hiskadshli La'acha Lamed Yoim, he gives her money of Kedusha now and says, you should be Mekudosh to me after 30 days. So he's saying he's giving her the money on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. He says, from now to Rosh Chodesh Kislev, nothing takes effect. Rosh Chodesh Kislev, I want it that the Kedusha should be in effect. Well, the din is the Mekudoshes. The Kedusha works for Af Mishnis Akhlo Amos, even if the money was used up during that time. We don't say the money has to actually exist and be in her possession at that time, because he gave it to her and made that tonight.
Doesn't have to be a death
goal. We're not talking about Kiddush, we're talking about Kiddush Kes. Now actually the Ran does mention that actually it would be different if he was Makadish with a shtar. If he was Makadish with a shtar under the same conditions, and then after 30 days, and then within the 30 days the shtar was ripped up, then we would say the Kiddush would not be Chal after the 30 days. Because at that point there's no shtar again. But over here, when it comes to kedusha kesef, then it's different. Because there's the hanok, there's the shibud of money. He brings from a gemara in kedushin that says it's not really like a loan, it's not really like a pekudin, it's really something else. So therefore the kedushin works. So by the same token, if he says this animal should be an Ola 30 days from now, then we don't need to do anything. 30 days from now, automatically the Kedusha of Ola is Chal. Well, the Gemara asks Shita. In that case, it's obvious. In other words, once we know the din by Kedusha, then yes, we should be able to apply it to Kobonus as well. Why do we need to be told otherwise? The answer is Loit Sricha de Hodrbe. The answer is that the chiddush of the braisa is if he changed his mind in between. So what happens during the 30 days if he says, you know what, I changed my mind, I don't want it to become an Ola in 30 days from now? That doesn't work. That's the chiddush of the braisa. So the Gemara asks, well, then let's compare it back to Kedushin. That works according to the opinion that she can't change her mind. The same thing, she accepted the Kedushin on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, even though the Kedushin are still in suspension to Rosh Chodesh Kislev. There's an opinion in the Gemara and Kedushin that it's too late for her to change her mind. So, even if she gives the money back, then still the Kedushin were already Chal. No different than any case of Kedushin if she gives him the money back afterwards.
Only the third day. Right?
No, but anytime, the Pashtus.
In between, before.
The Pashtus, even if she gives it to him back within the 30 days, the fact is he gave it to her then. So.
The Kedushin was that it should be the Kaddish only.
That it should be the Kaddish only 30 days from now, right? But still, the fact is he gave her Kedushin at the time. She accepted it. He said Hareyat Mekudeshesli. He only said that it'll be Hareyat Mekudeshesli 30 days from now. So there is, the Ran refers to, there's Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish about this in Kedushin, whether she can change her mind. But according to the opinion that she could change her mind, then what? And the Mefarish explains over here that one implication of it would be, suppose during that 30 days, she's in the Scottish to somebody else. If we say chazeres, then that would work. If we say ain't a chazeres, it wouldn't work. She's already she's not yet the Kurdish, it is true, but nevertheless, when it comes the end of the 30 days, then it comes out that the kedushin of the second one take effect then, and there's no room for the kedushin of the first one.
But take effect
since she's already makudish to the first one. That's the point. If we say ain't a chazeres, now the halacha is chazeres. So the halacha is that in a case like that, we didn't say ma'achshav. If you said ma'achshav, then there were other dinim involved. But if he says ma'achshav la'achas shloshim, that's a whole different ball game. But if he just says la'achas shloshim yom, the halacha is chazeres, meaning that if she's in the kurdish to somebody else during that time, that second kedushin will take effect. By the time it comes, the 30 days, tough luck. There's already a kedushin. There's already a kedushin that are blocking it. Yeah. Anyway. So again, if you say chazeres, my ikal memer, then what are you going to say? The same way as we say over there that he can make kedushin, and yet they can be bottle if she changes her mind during the 30 days. Why shouldn't we say the same thing if he says that the animal will be an oila and that the animal will be an oila 30 days from now, and then during the 30 days he changes his mind? Why shouldn't he be able to? The Gemara answers. The difference is that even according to the opinion there that she could change her mind, here it's a special case, because we know when you say verbally that you're going to give something to Hashem,
can't go down
there. It's considered the equivalent of mesira. It's considered as the equivalent of a valid kinyan with a hedyot, and therefore you can't change your mind. So therefore that's what the Braisa wants to inform us, is that point. So the Ran goes on to explain that even with a head, now when you do Masira, you can have a case also where the Masira is only going to take effect sometime from now. For example, if I sell you my cow, and we do Masira, and I do Masira, I hand over the cow to you, I hand over the reins, or you do Mashicha or whatever, and we say that it should only that the kinyan should take effect only after 30 days, then if 30 days from now the animal is not in your rishus, then the kinyan is not chal. It needs to be in your rishus for the kinyan to be able to be chal. So why don't we say the same thing over here, where he's makdash it 30 days from now? Why don't we say that in between it's possible to change his mind? So the Ran answers that what the Gemara is doing is it's considering that when he says that the animal should be a korban 30 days from now, he's actually implicitly adding the word me'achshav, that should be as of now. Now, in the case of a kinyan with a hedyot, if we were to do mashicha, and I say you should be koine me'achshav al'achas shloshim, then the din is 30 days from now, it will not need to be in your rishus, because retroactively, 30 days from now, it takes effect as of now. So the same way the Ran says, we're talking about over here, when you're saying amir l'gvoy kim siras l'hedyot, it means in effect incorporating the word me'achshav. That's according to the Ran. The Rosh explains differently. He says, listen, the fact is you have a mitzvah, a chayav, a kayim dvarim. When you make a neder to Hashem, you have a chiyuv to fulfill your words. So forget about the exact comparison to Misiros of a hedyot. The fact is you have a requirement to keep your neder, which you wouldn't necessarily have with a hedyot.
After Hashem gave it to you.
So therefore, yeah. So the bottom line is, in other words, that the Braisa is telling us that chiddush, not necessarily is it telling us anything about whether Kedusha can disappear on its own or whether it can't. We can say, according to Bapada, Kedusha does not disappear on its own. You always need to be poided. The Braisa, rather, is talking about a different case which has nothing to do with that.
So then the answer is
the Braisa is not a contradiction on Bapada, because the Braisa is telling us something else entirely. Whereas according to Ula, meanwhile, we can say the Braisa is talking about Kedushas HaGuf and Kedushas Domim. Fine, we slogged up Rava, who thought that the whole thing is talking about Kedushas Domim. We said Kedushas HaGuf can also, according to Ula, disappear on its own. So Ula will explain both parts of the Braisa as referring to where you actually makdish the animal or the value of the animal for a korban, and we're talking about what happens within the 30 days after the 30 days. But in all cases, according to Ola, we're talking about that there's kedusha on it the entire time. It's just at one point it's Ola and another point it's shlomim. According to Bapada, rather, the Braisa is telling us two different things. One, a case where you're replacing one kedusha with another, and another one where you're saying the kedusha itself will only be chal 30 days from now. Okay. Okay, so we'll finish up this discussion tomorrow. That's the shame then. Actually, you know what? Yeah, we have a few more minutes. We might as well. I mean, the discussion goes all the way till the next Mishnah, which is halfway down Lamed Amud Aleph. But it's fine. We have a longer block coming up, so we may as well try to get a jump on it. So let's continue.
How do you make a Padiyah?
Padiyah would mean that you buy it back from Hekdesh. So it means that you yourself would. Yeah. Yes, that's what we're saying.
And all of a sudden, the hekdesh of that tree returns to itself.
Well, that's what we were saying at the beginning. Again, according to the Rashba's understanding, both Barpada and Ula agree that as long as the tree is standing, even if you poda it, the kedusha comes right back. The machlokas would only be what happens when it's chopped in. Padiyah would be that you call in an expert, you call in a treasurer of the Mishmikdash or somebody else to figure out what's the value of this tree, how much is it worth? And then you pay that amount towards Hekdesh.
And then also, so you pay, but you pay for nothing.
Well, if we're saying that the Kedusha comes right back, then yeah, it comes out, you paid for nothing. Yeah. Yeah. Once you chop it down, then you have the machlokas. And again, according to the Moshe Kartavi, the Ran Brook, the question is, even while the tree is standing, do you need, is there anything you can do as far as being koideh? Does the Kedusha keep on coming back, or are they disagreeing on that point as well?
He said, until the action is expected to.
Until you cut, right, until it's chopped down.
Go ahead and make that piece.
Well, that's the question. That's the two different ways that the Rashba and Ramosha Kartavi have to understand this. Are we saying that the words Adshi Kotsu are extra, that he didn't need to say that, and therefore, according to therefore we're learning something from it. According to Barpada, we're learning that the Kedusha keeps on coming back, and according to Ula, not. Or do we say, like the Rashba says, that no, it's not that they're extra words, just the fact is, until they're chopped down, you're not able to be poided, the Kedusha keeps on coming back. Right.
Is Kedusha continuous, or is it continual?
Well, it doesn't really matter. The point is, it keeps on coming back, yeah. It keeps on coming back, whatever, until he chops it down. So the Gemara continues. Yosef Rav Oven Rav Yitzchak Berebi, Kameh de Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Oven Rav Yitzchak Berebi was sitting in front of Rav Yirmiyah, as Talmidim, become a namnim Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah was napping. Sometimes where you learn from, you have very many places in Shas where you have such an expression, the Chachamim, that a Chacham was napping and then his Talmidim was sitting in front of him. It could mean, it could be two possibilities. It could show how much the Chacham was devoted to teaching Torah, that even when he's half asleep, he's still there in front of his Talmidim and he's still going to, as the Gemara is going to go on, wake himself up to tell them something. Or it could mean that actually there is a Gemara in Moed Katan, which we learned last year, that uses the word menamnim to mean when a person is right before he passes away. You had an expression over there, for example, that Rava was menamnim, and he tells his brother to please tell the Malacham Lavas to leave me alone. So it could even be over here that it means Rabbi Yirmiyah was menamnim, as in he's on his deathbed, and still he's there teaching his Talmidim, and they are ready to explain to them. You know what it is later than I thought. So fine, we'll leave this for tomorrow, actually. So we'll leave the next part of the discussion for tomorrow, Beis Hashem.